So this next gentleman coming to the stage, I have to get this out of the way. He has a very famous name. So let me just clear up some things you guys might be worried about. So he did get a jersey for the Chicago Cubs just a couple years ago. He was in Cleveland for this thing called Game 7. You know, he was there for the celebration. You might call him an all-star of the forensic accounting world. He's one of my best friends, Jonathan Lester. He actually did go to Game 7. That is true. And you bought that Lester jersey, like, first day, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, how can you not? Like, people always say you're a tool if you buy one with your name on the back, but, like, no one knows I'm a tool. I can still have my name on the back, though, so it's awesome. Works out great. Thank you, Eric, for that introduction. That was accurate yet misleading. Before I get started, I really just want to say I'm really honored to be here. I'm not a performer. Eric mentioned I have an accounting degree. So to be a part of the 5-year anniversary and to be asked to be here when there have been so many amazing storytellers and stories over the last 5 years, it really means a lot to me. So I really appreciate that.
Love you, man.
Love you, too. Very imaginatively in my accounting brain, when I started to think of a story for tonight, I was like, what happened to me 5 years ago? I was thinking, podcast, like that'll ever catch on. Prescient. A little over 5 years ago, I got married, so which was great. The story is not about that. But this story is about 5 years ago this month, I actually got a new job. And up until that point in my career, I had worked at a public accounting firm, which I had some great projects. But I also had a lot of soul-sucking, made me want to die work. So I really needed something new. And about this time, I had gotten an opportunity to go work at a big company in the Chicago area, working in audit. Now, for those of you tuning out right now, because I just said the word audit, I promise I will make it worth it if you just focus up for like 10 more seconds, I promise. So it was not the normal financial auditing, not like the IRS coming to break down your door kind of thing. It was compliance auditing. So it was all about code of ethics, compliance with laws, anti-bribery statutes, things like that. So it was more interesting work, and I felt like I was somewhat doing a public service while, you know, working for corporate overlords. So I feel a little better about myself as, you know, my white liberal guilt. So, and it was really great. The other great part about it was an international role. So I would spend 4 weeks at a time out of the country in a location and getting to travel on weekends and things like that and then come home for 3 weeks and then do it again. And this was really amazing to me because I grew up in a really small town in downstate Illinois. Population 500, I'm rounding up now because of the census. some people moved in. And I've described it before on this podcast as no stoplights, no gas stations, no McDonald's. So really tiny. And as part of that whole small town thing, my parents were kind of the embodiment of that. They'd grown up there, gone to high school sweethearts, gotten married. And didn't want to leave, especially my dad. So we never really took family vacations. We took a couple road trips growing up, but my dad had actually never been on a plane until he was 58, and that was the only time he's ever been on a plane. So, you know, we weren't driving to Ireland, so, you know, kind of missed an important step there. And growing up in this small town, we lived on the edge of town, so right where the field started, before you went 15 miles to the next town. And I remember from a really young age, I used to stand on the side of our yard and just stare out over the fields and, you know, beyond the farmhouses and beyond the fertilizer plant, beyond that one tree that was in the middle of the field. I used to stare at the horizon and just think to myself, what's out there? You know, what could there be? I actually used to pore over atlases that we had and just look at interstates in the United States and just look at where roads went. If we kept driving, where would you get to? To this day, I still have a bunch of random, useless knowledge about the United States interstate system. So if you want to catch me afterwards for a really interesting discussion, that's what you bring up. It wasn't big dreams. It was just what is outside of central Illinois. So to have this opportunity to leave the country, to get stamps on my passport was amazing. So on January 2nd, 2012, I was on a plane to Egypt for my first audit. And this blew my mind. You could get on a plane and go to Egypt. It's like, that was a thing. It was this, like, mystical land of pyramids and sphinxes and pharaohs. Like, that was a thing you could go to. And it was incredible. And, you know, I was only in that role for about 18 months, but I did a lot of crazy things. I visited 33 countries. I bungee jumped at Victoria Falls. I watched the sunrise over the Taj Mahal. I got drunk and passed out in the Canary Islands on the beach face down. I'm slightly less proud of that one. But it wasn't all fun and games. You know, I had to work, obviously. You know, I did have a job to do and things like that. But I was also away from everyone I've known, so for 4 weeks at a time. So, you know, it strained my relationships with friends and family and my husband. So, you know, it was difficult. But when you're racking up thousands of frequent flyer miles weekly, you know, there's some perks. So I was actually able to take my husband, Kevin, to the south of France, and we went to Rome and saw the Sistine Chapel and went to Singapore and all these other trips. And to be able to share that with someone who I love and admire more than I thought was ever possible was really meaningful to me. But beyond that, it was the other people I met, though, on these trips. You know, obviously my coworkers in the offices, but also, you know, you spend a month in a hotel, you meet the people in the hotel, the restaurant, your drivers, your translators, and people in bars. And it was incredible to meet all these people in these different cultures and kind of immerse myself in this culture at each of these places and kind of learn the differences and similarities between us and, you know, to obviously see that there's so much we're similar with other people outside of the U.S. But one of the things that really crystallized for me why I used to stare over the fields, I always thought it was because I wanted to leave. And I did. I very desperately wanted to leave, and I did the first chance I got. But I, in a small town, you know, everyone seems like they're the same. In my town, everyone was very white, very conservative Christian, and I wasn't. I was different. And that difference was the source of a lot of fear and self-hatred and sadness, and it made me feel broken. And being able to travel and meet people who were different from me, but even different from each other and these different cultures, showed me that difference doesn't mean broken, it just means different, and that's fine. And learning that was better than anything I imagined was over the horizon. Thank you.
John Lester, everybody. Man, oh, this one, there we go. I always told John, you know, maybe you did pick accountant as a career path, but you are amazing on stage, dude. Let's give it up for John one more time. So great. Did anybody else hear Luke's theme when he started talking about looking out past the farms and da na 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 na? Plus, like, sand people are rough in Central Illinois. That actually sounds like a racial slur. Like, I always thought that, like, Ben shouldn't throw that word around so carelessly, sand people. They're Tuscan Raiders. Like, don't call them sand people. That's not cool. Old man. And